What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm no good at taking good advice, and I'm self-careless, so don't tell me twice that lately I've been so stuck in my head that I forget just about everything my therapist said. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe we are all self-helpless.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And we are talking about situationships today, you know, whether you think they're great, whether you think they're situationships, whether you think they're something in the middle. We've all kind of been in some kind of instance where at the bare minimum, you didn't really feel like maybe you knew how the other person felt about you or your relationship, whatever, you know, whatever it was at that time. Yes. So, you know, even if you haven't been in like a defined situationship, which we'll get into, I think we can all really relate to this one in some way.
Totally. And the term has been, I think, a newer term, right? Before then it was, people would call things like friends with benefits or like a hookup buddy or booty call or whatever. And so I think that's also part of it is like, I do think everybody has been in something like this at some point. It maybe just has changed what it's been called.
It's really interesting because I've had all of those things and I've been all those things. So I feel like it's very interesting because I have definitely been in like hookup buddy, friends with benefits stuff, but I don't feel like I've been in a situationship. So I feel like they're very different for me though, just based on like the definition that's going around out there, but I could be totally wrong. And maybe I've been in those and now the terms are just changing. I don't know. It's very interesting.
It is very interesting. And I think, so we talked about this a little bit on our quarter life crisis episode, that whether it's within picking a career, picking a relationship, that there's the paradox of choice, right? That there are so many choices. And so how you're saying, oh, I feel like I haven't necessarily been in a situationship before, but you've been in, you know, hookup situations or whatever. I think with dating apps having become way more popular in the past, however many years, that, because you've been in a marriage relationship. I was going to say, relationship. And I was like, wait, full marriage, but how long have you been in the relationship with Cam?
It's over 7 years now. So a little over 7 years, married for 2 years, together for seven. So yeah, we're in a marriage ship.
But so I'm saying that in the last like 7 years that you've been with Cam, I think dating apps have only become more and more prominent, popular. And I think that is adding to this feeling for people where people are like less willing to commit, it seems like.
That's what it is sounding like to me as well. At least a lot of my friends who are on dating apps, what their experiences are like. Because I did the apps over 7 years ago before Cam too. So they, I mean, it
Right.
seems like it was pretty common and like prominent back then. I can't even imagine how much it's grown and all of that. But it's, yeah, it's like when they have too many options, it's almost like decision fatigue or being afraid to commit because maybe somebody that is a better fit for you will come along literally tomorrow and sign up for the app that you're on. Or like, you know, there are
Yeah.
all the what ifs of, oh, what if somebody else is a better fit in this area? But you're right. It's like there's so many options, and then you don't actually end up committing. You know, a lot of people don't end up committing to anybody, and then they never actually reap the benefits of what it's like to be in a longer term commitment where you actually work through things together and you get to know somebody on a really deep level that you don't get from bouncing around from one relationship to another. And I'm saying this from experience of being somebody who was, you know, not somebody who can would commit for
Yeah.
quite some time. And I definitely bounced around from different relationships, and I hit my own wall with that. It got very tiring, you know, it was super, don't get me wrong, it was very fun for a very long time. And it you know, it fulfilled what I wanted it to, but at some point there was just this wall of feeling like really empty, you know, and being like, you know
Yeah.
what, I am ready for something different than this. I want to go deeper than like the surface level type of stuff that's happening. And that was in those were in my situations. So yeah, it's a
Yeah.
weird topic with the social media and the apps. And like you said, Kelsey, even like in your career path or anything else, it's like you can work remotely now. So now all these different options for what career path do you take and what jobs do you apply for? It's like, I don't know. I get very overwhelmed by that piece of it for my career of like, well, I work from home. I could work like for any company on the planet.
Yeah.
What should I do? And it kind of
Right.
feels like it keeps me stuck sometimes. So.
Yeah. The paradox of choice stuff, I think, a really common question that people run into. I think once they're in a relationship, I have this conversation a lot with friends where it's like, what is, hey, no relationship is perfect. Every relationship has struggles to work through, versus
Yeah.
like, this isn't the right fit. Like, there could be a
Yeah.
better fit. And I think that's what keeps people in so many situationships is because they're like, well, maybe I can keep finding something that's the best fit for me. But it's like, there is a, like you said, there's a tipping point where also you could just be in search of that forever if you don't accept
Right.
that there will always be things that you have to work through in a relationship. But it's so
Yes.
hard. It's different for every person in every relationship for sure.
Yeah, very excited to get into it. Before we
Yeah.
do you have any announcements, plugs on your end? Where are you performing coming up?
Yeah. So I've got a handful more of tour dates. Handful more of tour dates. That sounds really bizarre, but I bet there was probably a grammatically better way to say that. So I will be in Washington, D.C. this weekend at the D.C. Comedy Loft. I'm so excited. I know we have a bunch of D.C. helpsters, so I'm happy to perform there. And then next week, I'm in Nashville, Huntsville, and Atlanta. And then in December, I'm in Boston and Tampa. And I am sure that by the time this comes out, I will have probably announced on social media where my next year's tour dates are going to be. So go to
Sweet.
kelseycook.com. Yeah, get tickets for this year and next year. Follow me on social media at Kelsey Cook Comedy. And yeah, I can't wait to see you guys on the road.
Hell yes.
How about you?
Yeah. If you like podcasts, you're tuning into a podcast right now. I have another one called Career Crush. It's a private show, but it's totally free. You can get it on my website, delaneyfisher.com. And we just talk about unconventional like career paths, pivots, launching creative projects, all that kind of stuff, just finding fulfillment in your work, whatever that might be. And you know, I really created this podcast for myself because I am somebody who really struggles with picking a direction when it comes to my work. I've been running my own company for, I don't know, 5, 6 years now. And I'm feeling like a little bit of an itch to do something different. So I don't exactly know what my next steps are going to look like. And I'm just interviewing people who are doing interesting shit. And if you are curious about what that what that sounds like, come on over. There, for me, when I was looking into a lot of entrepreneur podcasts, career podcasts, there's such a big focus on a lot of podcasts on the revenue, like the amount of revenue a company is bringing in or somebody's bringing in or all of that stuff. That's all great. And that's definitely part of it. But this, you know, I kind of wanted my podcast to be more focused on the fulfillment and happiness in your day to day, not so much of the amount of money you're making, because everybody's amount of money can be so different depending on what your lifestyle is and where you live. So right. That's the big core focus for that show. Anyway, would love to have you over there at DelaneyFisher.com.
Amazing.
Yes.
So you have a quote, right?
I do have a quote. This one is from Jillian Turecki, and it says, "Fixing, pleasing, rescuing, and chasing are all manifestations of self-avoidance. When you're consumed by another person's life, you will inevitably neglect your own. The first thing to do then, when you're caught up in this cycle, is to put the focus back on your own life and make your fulfillment your highest priority. This is what reclaiming your power is. It means you face yourself, and in doing so, you will find yourself." I just felt like this was a good one. If you feel like your situationship is consuming too much of your time, or it's starting to kind of feel not so good. Maybe it was feeling good for a while, but now it's kind of, you know, it's crossed a line where it's now making you unhappy, or you're feeling like taken advantage of, or you really do want some kind of a commitment. And maybe you've even become a little bit like obsessive about it, or right. You know, the relationship and all of that. So just, I think it's a good reminder to really kind of bring focus back to yourself, and what is this distraction giving you? Because maybe, right? Like, being distracted does give you something, and it does, you know, it does help you avoid things that might need tending to. So that's just if your situationship isn't feeling so great.
Yeah. We have talked about this analogy with narcissistic personality disorder, where if you put a frog in boiling water, it will hop right out. But if you put a frog in whatever it is, like room temperature water, and then you slowly turn the burner up, it won't notice. And I think that if you're in a situationship, whether it's with somebody with a personality disorder or not, there, I think, are those times where it's like maybe you've been in something for a while and you've kind of lost sight of how it's impacting your mental well-being.
Right. That is such a good point. It becomes your new normal. It becomes like your new normal, mm-hmm. not to define things or not to, you know, whatever. Yeah. And maybe that's something that it still feels good, and that's what you want and you still want. But I think there seems to be a point in time where a situationship for at least one person crosses the line into one person maybe being ready for the commitment or wanting that, or wanting a definition of some kind. And maybe the other person is still not feeling that way. And that's when things can, you know, get really tough. Yes.
And maybe you're the person in the situationship who is feeling a little cold feet, a little, you know, pulling back, not really sure. And I think that's also really important to talk to yourself honestly and figure out why you're feeling that way, and what you are gaining by continuing to stay in that situationship, if maybe that's like not fully the right fit for you. But
Yeah. I feel like I've been on both ends of this, you know. I've been the person that didn't really want any labels, and I've been the person that was like, oh, I could probably see myself having a label with this person if they got, you know, to that point as well.
Yeah.
But
I feel like we should also give the technical definition of a situationship.
Yes.
This is from Women's Health. So when I say technical definition, I'm sure there are several, but this is, according to a licensed therapist, a situationship is a romantic arrangement that exists before / without a DTR, which is defining the relationship conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's murkyville. It's gray area. But you know, I think a lot of things we've said about them so far this episode sound like we lean toward a negative viewpoint of it, but there are some upsides to this. It's not necessarily
Right.
A bad thing at all to be in a situationship if that's what you're looking for. And it can also be kind of like the precursor to a more committed relationship. It's all like,
Oh, yes.
Everybody goes through different seasons. So we'll talk about the pros and cons of a situationship in this episode as well.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Definitely. And if, for me, it's like, okay, because I identify with having like friends with benefit situations, but not necessarily being in a situationship. This definition was helpful for me where it's less than a relationship, but more than a casual encounter or booty call. Like a situationship yes. refers to a romantic relationship that is and remains undefined. A situationship is that space between a committed relationship and something that is more than a friendship. And that's by psychotherapist Jonathan Alpert. So for me, I feel like I've hit the friends with benefits, but before it got into situationshipville or whatever, yeah. it was either defined or it ended. So that's yeah. like the, it's interesting because I feel like I've had, I haven't had it really the way that maybe some people in my life have shared with me mm-hmm. how they've had it, where it's gone on for months or even a year or 2 years.
Right.
I never had something like that, that long. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Have you been in one and have you felt like there's been pros? I know that there, I've had a lot of upsides to these types of, you know, relationships yeah. in the past.
I feel like you maybe have, well, I guess I have another girlfriend who I think kind of thrives in them, but we've talked before on the show over the last 6 years that you are somebody who tends to be wired almost a little bit more masculine. In yes. relationships, like, you know, stereotypically speaking, of course, just that, like,
you
have been in situations where, like, you are the one that is able to have a hookup or be in a situationship and truly not get emotionally attached.
Right.
And you've been the one that's been more like avoidant, maybe of like, like not actually looking for this to go further. And you've had to kind of be the heartbreaker in those where guys are hoping that it becomes more.
Yes. Yes.
In my life, most of my female friendships, they have found themselves on the other end of it where like they are hoping it will become more. And the man in the situationship is the one that's kind of pulling back, not really wanting to go further. So
right.
A situationship that came to mind for me, this was a couple years ago, and you had mentioned like sometimes it's something that's going on in your life when you are looking for an escape and you need to be asking yourself, like, what am I running from? So when my mom was in the hospital for those first 5 months, I entered into a situationship almost right around that same time where I didn't, I think, fully realize at the time how much I was letting myself get lost in that situationship when I was trying to like just survive, you know, like just mentally and emotionally survive. That's when I was going to the hospital for like 8 to 10 hours a day. My mom was catatonic for long periods of time. We were told back then that she maybe had 6 weeks to live. And so I think when I like wasn't at the hospital, I just was trying so hard to make it through. And yeah. at the time, it felt really good to have this kind of mental escape because it was a long distance situation. And I didn't realize until more time had passed. And again, because of the pandemic, travel restrictions were happening, and I didn't end up meeting this person in person for like, God, 4 months maybe. It was quite a while that it had just been this kind of situationship through text, phone call, FaceTime. And that became really hard for me to, I think just in talking about it with like my friends, of like, I don't know what this is. And you start to feel right. kind of stupid, but at the same time, you would also feel, at least to me, I would feel kind of crazy to think that it was this like very committed thing when we hadn't even met in person.
Right, right.
But it, you know, it was like, and I look back and there were things from this person that were not healthy behaviors, a lot of red flags that I was choosing to ignore because I really felt like I needed that escape. And yeah. that whole frog boiling in water analogy that we've been using, I think that was happening to me where I was letting myself get kind of further down the rabbit hole without realizing it. And then we finally met in person, and it ended like very shortly after that. And it yeah. was such a, like such a confusing, weird thing to look back on because, and I think a lot of, sorry, I'm sure this sounds super convoluted. I'm sorry. I'm just like trying to put this all.
No, I get it. Okay. No, I'm following. Yeah,
okay.
I totally understand what you're saying.
Sorry. I hope this isn't confusing to our listeners. I think when it's a long distance situation and you are like your primary form of communication is not spending time in person with them.
Yeah.
It's really hard to try to define what that is. Like I knew we weren't exclusive, but it felt like it had become this thing. Like we are talking every day. There is some level of commitment here where at least we're like moving forward toward meeting in person. But yeah. I think if that goes on for a really long time and you're not actually making that in-person progress, it's very confusing. And I would not recommend it to people because I also think there's a lot of things that somebody can either hide from you yeah. if you're not around them in person. Or a lot of things that you yourself can have rose-colored lenses about. It's like you can think you know somebody long distance, and like unless you're really having that in-person time, you just don't. And
right.
And I don't think I wanted to believe that. I think I wanted to really believe that it was. I knew it, it. How do I explain it? I knew it was a situationship. But I'm not really built for those, I don't think. So yeah. for me, it was like, I needed to know if this was going to continue forward. And, you know, after we met, it wasn't going to go forward. But I just, right. I would urge people that if you're in a long distance thing, like you really have those plans of meeting in person and getting on a similar page of like, what are we both hoping for here?
Right. And like some kind of probably consistency plan, I'd imagine is important too. Like how often are we going to be able to see each other and all that. But like you said, Kels, it's so hard when you said that situationship at that time was kind of like a saving grace for you in a way. It was like helping you get through your days and like this hard time. And it was a welcomed distraction, like for you probably in your life. Like it's something that you kind of needed. And maybe yeah. in a different situation, if you weren't experiencing a lot of hardship in your personal life, maybe it wouldn't have gotten that far, depending yeah. on how you were feeling, because maybe you would have noticed things earlier or whatever. But I think that's, you know, very relatable. And it's also hard when It's not just surfacey conversation. Like if you are talking like about things like in more depth about your feelings or, you know, personal things, that can be, I'd imagine, pretty confusing. You're talking about deep shit, but you are still aware that you haven't met or it's a situationship. There's just like that. I don't know if that's considered cognitive dissonance or not, but both things are happening at the same time and both things are true. And that's got to be really confusing.
What a great way to put it. Yeah. It was like, this person just so happened to come into my life at my like most, like one of my most vulnerable times. All of that time in the hospital, to then have that person be who I was talking to on an everyday basis. It was, it was a weird combo of like feeling like there had been a quick bond, like maybe a trauma bond, but in reality, not getting to meet in person for a really long time.
Yeah.
So that was one of, but when you asked me, have you been in a situationship? That was kind of the first one that came to mind where I was like, man, that was a murky motherfucking time. That was like, so bizarre and strange. How about you? What's your experience been with a situationship?
Yes. Well, as somebody who married their friends with benefits, I feel like I've been on all, I've been on different ends of this, right? Like I've been in a situation where a friends with benefits situation turned into a relationship and then a marriage. Yeah. And then I've also been in a lot of them where we were both on the same page and it like, it fizzled out and it was totally fine and cool. And I've also been on situations where the other person, you know, developed feelings and then I had to cut it off. And then I've been in situations where I think I maybe could have developed feelings if we had continued seeing each other, but didn't. Mm-hmm. So it's just been, a lot of different ones. But I think if I had to like psychoanalyze myself now as a 33-year-old, when I was 22, I ended a 4.5-year relationship with like my high school sweetheart, love, whatever you call it. And we were like together about 4.5 years. So, that relationship, he cheated on me. There was infidelity on his part and it was really traumatic. It was kind of a relationship that he had like behind my back for a long time. And, you know, we got back together afterward and tried to make it work and all that stuff. And even though he made a lot of changes and, it seemed to be like he had kind of whatever learned his lesson, if you will, for lack of a better term, I just couldn't get over that kind of trust being broken. And so we ended the relationship. And so I think part of me, this is me not being super conscious at the time. After that, I think I felt like, okay, I spent 4.5 years with somebody who betrayed my trust. Mm-hmm. I've wasted time, and now I want to catch up. I want to catch up and have all these different experiences that I really missed out on potentially by being in this relationship that wasn't really great for me. And so I think that was part of it where I felt like I just want to date as many people as possible and meet as many and have as many experiences as possible. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. I had no interest in, for a really long time, I had no interest in, having a boyfriend or having it go any further than that, because I was getting off of that for that long relationship. And I just, it didn't even sound appealing. So that was a big part of it, I think. And I also was very much hurt in that relationship. And so anytime that maybe some things were getting a little bit too relationship-like, or maybe I saw a characteristic that reminded me of my ex-boyfriend or something, I really just didn't want to go any further. I think that was part of it too. I'm like, well, this feels like a little too familiar, or I don't want to give somebody the power to hurt me again. But mostly I just was having a really great time. I remember, one of my parents was concerned about my behavior. They were concerned that I was just dating a lot of different people. And they were, you know, they just want to make sure I was okay. So they really, they encouraged me to go to therapy and stuff like that. So that was like the first, one of the first times I saw a therapist. And, you know, I told the therapist, who happened to be a man, I'm like, look, I'm just dating. And that's just like how people date. I go on some dates with people. Sometimes I keep seeing them, sometimes not. Like, I'm just having fun. Yeah.
Listen, sometimes I'm the mayor of Fuck City. And I'm looking to run again next term. So
I'm just campaigning.
I'm sorry I'm so good at this, but
exactly. I'm fundraising for the campaign. I don't know what you want me
to do. I'm getting spreading the word.
And he was asking me questions like how I felt about the experiences and all that stuff. And I was like, I truly feel great. Like I'm not upset about it. This is not ruining my life. And whether it's because of trauma from my past or not, I felt fine and good about it. So, he was like, you know, if you're enjoying yourself and you're not putting yourself in like harm's way and, you know, whatever, you're clearly communicating with the other person that you're not looking for something or whatever, then I mean, just do your thing. Like, he was just like, yes, this is typically more of a, like you said, Kels, like a stereotypically masculine, maybe way to date, but there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. As long as you're being very honest about your, whatever partners that you're having. I'm like, okay, cool. Great. I feel good. And so, yeah, I did that for quite some time. I had some like boyfriends in between that were, you know, maybe a few months here, a few months there kind of a thing. And then I ended up just kind of hitting a wall after doing that for several years of like, yeah, I think I'm ready for something different. This really served some great purposes though. I mean, I met a lot of people. I really kind of, and all of those relationships helped me kind of determine what I like, what I don't like who I want to be with, you know, the qualities I want in somebody. I think also, this is something I didn't realize. I think that having that option of friends with benefits or whatever helped me not get into another relationship that was maybe not going to be good for me. Because I had this other option, I didn't make any, like, it wasn't an all or nothing of like, you either are single with no, you know, no kind of connection or whatever, physical touch or whatever to anybody, or you have to get into another long-term committed relationship. Yeah. I think it was actually a big benefit that it fulfilled a need where I didn't feel like I had to get into a relationship that I maybe was not ready for, or that might have some kind of characteristics of the last relationship that I was in without realizing it. So,
yeah, which that's what I was saying before. It's like, there are absolutely upsides to situationships. And I think the way you were talking about it with your therapist, it's probably really sexually empowering for you at that time. And you know what I mean? And you were like learning what you wanted.
Yeah.
Whether it was sexually, emotionally, all of that. It's, I do think that can be really helpful for people. So I agree. I think it's like, as long as you're being safe and being transparent, then more power to you.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and look, I definitely fucked up along the way and, you know, I had to hurt some people's feelings and that really fucking sucks. But you know, I just like, I did the best that I could with what I was working with at the time. And I think I was just, I was really just focused on enjoying myself and just kind of doing whatever. Then I met Cam and that really started off as a friends with benefits thing. And then we realized that we liked each other and, you know, became boyfriend and girlfriend, and the rest is history on that. So yeah, even my marriage started the same way. Very, very weird.
Yeah. So if you are listening right now and you are unsure of if you are in a situationship, this is also from the article on today.com. I have a list of signs that you're in a situationship. So number one, you don't meet each other's friends or family.
That's interesting.
I would say that's a pretty common one in a situationship, is like, maybe it's a little bit more like in private. because if people aren't sure they're willing to like take the next steps, it's like, well, are you going to get introduced to people that then maybe they're never going to see again?
See, I don't know. I'm not relating to that one very much because
Oh.
for me, like if I'm in a friends with benefits or vice versa, like we've already just established like this is not going to be an
Oh.
exclusive committed thing. I don't give a shit who you meet. You know what I
Interesting.
mean?
Okay.
You can meet my family or my friends, and we've already had that conversation of like, these are just other people in my life. You're a person in my life. And so I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe that, old Delaney needed to kind of reassess that. But I also had met my friends with benefits friends and sometimes family in passing and stuff too. So I don't
Yeah.
know. I feel like that could be a
Yeah.
murky bullet point.
True. Okay, true. So take if that feels like it fits for your description, great. If not, no worries. We've got other signs.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You haven't talked about the future. How do you feel about this one?
Totally. Yeah, all very short-term planning. Like you want to see a movie tomorrow, or you know what I
Do
mean?
you want to
Like,
see a movie in the next 2 hours?
yeah, exactly. Or you up, like that kind of
Yeah.
shit. I think that one makes sense.
I agree. Yeah, it's so funny. I know I've mentioned narcissistic personality disorder a couple of times on here, and I know that you and I have had some experiences, unfortunately, with people with that. And there's a thing called future faking that you can be the recipient of if you're in a relationship with somebody like that, where there is talk of the future, but there aren't like actual concrete plans to follow through on those things. And that can be, ooh, I mean, just add to the murkiness and confusion of like, wait, well, but they say they want to do this, and that's like a big thing, or that's like way down the road.
Oh gosh,
But like, I'm
yes.
not, and I think that goes back to actions over words always. Like, make sure, I think that's a big thing, whether it's a situationship or relationship, like, make sure that you are getting actions over words, because anybody can say anything.
Oh, good point, Kels. That's what's so tough is like you could be in a situationship with somebody who doesn't actually plan on following through, but they're telling you they're going to
Yeah.
follow through, and they're talking about future stuff that seems like commitment like. So that's
Yeah.
just that's a huge mind fuck.
It really is. Yeah. Another one is you're missing an emotional connection. Yeah, I think this one can be a little bit gray area too. I think you can have an emotional connection in a situationship, but do you remember how I've talked on the show about the triangular theory of love, where
Yes, I
I
think
forget the
vaguely.
name who of the person who came up with it, but I always find it very interesting that they talk about the ultimate goal in a relationship is to have consummate love, which they, if you look at a triangle, they think of it as passion, commitment, and intimacy. So those three points, passion being more of that physical attraction, that sort of a thing. Intimacy being more that emotional connection, and then commitment being that you are both on the same page and wanting this commitment to move forward. But that if you have only one or a combination of two of those things, then it can technically still be love, but it's a different kind of love. So, and sometimes I think relationships can shift into those different types of love where maybe in the beginning feels really like sparks and fireworks, and then over time it might move more into what they call companionate love, where it's like you have an emotional connection and you're committed, but maybe you've lost some of that physical attraction or connection.
Yes, that is good. That triangle is, yeah, that's very solid. I have questions for you, but if you want to get through your bullet points, because I feel like the shifting between how a situationship either ends or progresses and any experiences that we have with that. I feel like that will be, I think that will be helpful to talk about because, you know, when you're in this kind of gray area, it's like, okay, well, how do you get out of it one way or another? You know?
But yeah. What are some action steps? Okay. Let me just read the last few and then we'll talk about that. So, you haven't defined your relationship, which I feel like is the basis of a situationship where nobody really wants to put a hard label on it.
Right. Which is a label in itself.
Yes.
Like you found somebody on TikTok that you liked that was kind of saying like, I mean, the basically the label is you're single.
Yes. I had looked up, it's Nick Vile. He hosts, I think it's called the Vile Files podcast. And he has a lot of great helpful clips about like situationships and relationships in general. But yeah, he talked about that for him. I thought this was also interesting too, that like you, if your situationship goes on for too long, you might be starting to put this person on a pedestal because you have to give yourself a reason for why you're waiting for so long for this person to commit. Ooh, so in your mind, they can't be a loser. Because if they were a loser and you're waiting this long, then you feel so stupid. So you keep making them more and more important in your mind of like, well, it's going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah. Waiting. Wow.
So crazy.
That's so interesting. And you know, another part of this that is also very murky is sometimes a situationship, the people are exclusive, but they're not labeled as, you know, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the label of we are in a committed relationship, but they are not dating other people and they've at least agreed to that. And then you could be exclusive for a while, but not have the commitment like of the next level where it's like, okay, we'd be mad if you slept with somebody else, but that's kind of the bare minimum.
Right. So the next bullet point, which made me think of this is that your communication is inconsistent. And I think this is, for me, the most relatable one amongst my friend group. Any of my friends who have been in a situationship, this seems to be the biggest issue, is that they are on different pages about communication. And one person is more consistent, more invested, and the other person is more spotty. And what fucking sucks about a situationship is that if there isn't a label, then that person can't be held to the standards of a relationship.
Right.
So it's, I just think so many people end up feeling hurt because they're like, well, my needs aren't being met, but I'm not even allowed to have needs in this thing because there's no label.
Oh, that's, I'm sure a lot of people use this as like, you know, having your cake and eating it too type of situation where it's like, I'm going to enjoy this person's company when it's convenient for me, but I'm also going to see what else is out there and see if there's somebody that I am clicking with better and just kind of keep it going for as long as this person will let me keep it going for.
Right.
Right.
And like we said, that might be totally fine for you. That might be where you're at that time in your life. Doesn't bother you. Maybe you're doing the same thing. That's fine.
Exactly.
But just probably the lesson of this episode is like to be honest with yourself and just be checking in with yourself and make sure that you still feel like you're not suppressing your actual needs.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Cause if both people are doing it, great. You're both doing the same thing. I'm going to keep this person around. We're enjoying it, but I'm also open over here and you're both on the same page. Fucking, it's kind of an awesome situation. Right.
Right.
But yeah, I got a lot to say about this.
I know. Okay. A few more bullet points. You never know when you're going to see them, which I think is similar in the whole like inconsistent communication. Right.
Right. Right.
Everything is based on convenience. You don't go on dates. So I feel like that might imply more of like a booty call.
Hanging out.
The relationship isn't going anywhere. You feel stuck. Maybe it feels like it's kind of in the same place. And then you aren't exclusive.
Interesting.
Yeah. And like you said, Delaney, there are variations of these, right?
Totally. Yeah. Cause I've definitely been in friends with benefit situations where it's like every Friday or Saturday, it's kind of a known thing that we're going to see each other. So you would could argue that's pretty consistent,
Yeah.
but it's not, you know, the person's not my boyfriend.
Right. So in this article, after all these bullet points, it's talking about how and when to end a situationship. So we can talk about that now, or do you want to get into what you had kind of put a pin in before?
Yeah, well, I think it goes along with that. But like you said, Kels, it's about how you're feeling. Has this stopped working for you? Has this stopped feeling fun? Is it now more hurtful than helpful? And like, what do you need to do? And it's, you know, a conversation, I feel like, is usually the thing that needs to be had. I feel like for me, I didn't get into situationships per se just because my personality type is very like, at some point I'm just going to be very direct and ask you what's up or ask how you're feeling or whatever. But I think on one end of it, I think a lot of I think there was more than one guy who maybe thought that I was saying it's just saying that I didn't want something but actually did. Like I was trying to be quote unquote cool girl. Like I'm just cool with whatever. I'm like,
I'm
no,
cougar.
I yeah, cougar, right? Whatever. And I'm like,
Cougar.
listen, I had to say like I'm really sorry, but no, I mean what I say. I'm not pretending that I don't want something to be more like whatever attractive to you or play hard to get.
Right.
What I said in the beginning is still how I feel. And that was always very that was unfortunate because if you know they wanted something more and I had to kind of remind them of the expectations that I set up front and then you know had to hurt their feelings and end that situation or whatever. That sucked. But then on the other hand, with Cam, my husband, I went into it feeling the same way. We're like, I don't really want anything. And then my feelings did change. So I understand how that can be really confusing where you're holding out and hoping that somebody on the other end is going to catch up with your feelings or feel the same way. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And so I think it really has to be for you like a personal timeline or deadline in mind for you. Like in my experience, I think if I had been maybe seeing somebody consistently that I liked, like I think by 2 or 3 months, we usually knew what was going on. Like it's a situationship or friends with benefits, or it's something more, and we're both on the same page. There was usually some kind of conversation where we knew what was going on. And I don't know if I would be able to let it go further than about like a 3 month mark and all of that. You know, even with Cam, once we realized that we liked each other, I had it in my head like, okay, if there's like a, you know, if we've been seeing each other like this for about a few months and nothing's been said, I'm going to say something. He just beat me to the punch about 6 weeks in or something, but I already had in my head like, all right, this is my personal deadline. And so I think those become really important in, I don't know, in instances like this, because you have to have something. You have to
I
have something
agree.
if you care about that. Like, yeah, how do you feel, Kels? How have these ended or progressed in your experience?
I couldn't agree more with what you said. I think it's such a personal decision, and I think you need to hold true to that and just know that it maybe it's a different time frame than the person you're in the situationship with, but it's like it has to be what is important to you and yeah, again, just making sure your needs are being met. For me, like I said, COVID was a huge factor in terms of like why that person and I could not meet in person sooner.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think if it had been any other situation, there's no way I would have gone like 4 months without meeting this person first. And I felt frustrated about it, where I was like, I don't like that I can feel myself getting more attached to this person and this
Right.
situation without meeting them. Because
Right.
I knew better. I was like, come on, like, you know, you can only know so much from long distance. Like, you might feel like you're having this connection and this bond, Because I think if you do start talking on a daily basis, like chemically, it becomes this thing that you feel like you can count on, and
Right.
like it's moving forward and all of that. But I knew when I was in it, I was like, this isn't how I would have ever chosen to do this. Like, this is way too long to go before meeting. So typically, I think I would have, I mean, within like the first month, been trying to be like, hey, let's meet in person and see if this
Right.
is like a real connection or not. But again, COVID changed, I think, a lot of things for a lot of people in those sort of long distance dating situationship things. But yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I think when I've maybe been on the other end of like, oh, I could potentially end up liking this person enough to date them, but when it's those situations, I kind of let things play out organically. Like if that person is making more of an effort, I might also make more of an effort. Versus, okay, we've kind of set this whole, casual thing up. I'm just gonna kind of see how it goes because I don't even really know if I like this person enough to change it from friends with benefits into something else. So I don't know. I didn't feel like I ever got too far deep in having feelings for somebody before a conversation was had. Because even for like, again, for like my past relationship, I wasn't even allowing myself to get that far, or if it was, I'd be like, all right, so what's the deal here? I can be a very direct person. And be pretty blunt in relationships. So I don't know. I would just like, yeah, what's the situation? It's all good. Like whatever it is, it's fine. But how are you feeling about stuff? I just didn't have any problems bringing those things up.
Sure. As the
Even
mayor of Fuck City, that's a really important part of your job. You have to be direct. You have to be able to talk to the people. I get
gotta talk to the people. You gotta understand what the people want and need from you as their counsel. And to the point where even like people in my life who have had situationships have been like, dude, can you just have the conversation for me? You obviously know how to get an answer, right? And I'm like, here's a few bullet points to take into the conversation.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I think also it can be, I mean, it's really scary because if you have developed feelings for somebody and you're hopeful that it will be more committed, you know that going into a conversation about defining the relationship could mean that you lose that person and lose that relationship. Because if you're ready for a commitment and they're not, that might be it. And you might not be ready for that to end because, again, you might be holding out for something to change, but how long can you hold out for? That's why those deadlines for yourself, I think, are so important.
Yeah, I think that's when people start to become cool girl. I'm a cool girl,
I'm
just
cool
hang
with
around. I'm
it.
fine. I'm fine. I'm cool with it. It's,
Right.
I think that's such a good question to ask yourself is like, truly, if you think you approached this person right now and said what your needs were and what your hopes were, and you don't think they were reciprocated, like, would you continue? Are you truly okay continuing?
Right.
And you know what? Like you said, Dell, sometimes people's feelings do change. I always feel like, if your needs aren't being met, then walking away, it's not necessarily like, oh, okay, well, that's fucking it. You're right. Maybe you walk away and the person's like, oh, you know what? I think it took like losing that person to realize,
Yeah.
oh, I see that shit all the time. And
Yep.
not like, I'm not encouraging people to play games. I don't think that's playing a game. I think that's
Right,
truly like
right.
if your needs aren't being met and you need to remove yourself, and then the person kind of wakes up and goes, you know what? That happened with Bert Kreischer and his wife Leanne. They talk really publicly
Oh,
about it that she was
really?
like, I need a commitment. Like, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Bye. And he like sat down and really realized what it meant to lose her. And then they've been married for a million years.
Yes, yes.
So you never know. I don't think you should leave something in hopes of like, well, that might make them change their mind, but
Right.
I think if it's meant to be, it will be.
Oh, definitely. I think, yeah, you just got to take care of yourself. It's okay not to be the cool girl. You know what I mean? It's like, we have all this pressure to be like, we're fine with it. You know?
Oh God.
And, just be honest. Like, I don't know. I just, if I ended up liking somebody, I would just tell them. And like, because okay, they don't like me back the same way. I that would suck, but at least I would know.
Yeah.
And I could then put my energy into somebody else that would feel the same way about me, you know, as painful as it is, I think it could be potentially a lot more painful to be with somebody for months or even years where you don't know where you stand. And then I don't know. It's just be Can honest with you yourself. Something? Yeah.
I have never been more unhappy in my life than when I was being a cool girl.
Ooh.
Like, if you feel like you're being a cool girl, right? Oh my God. It's so over. Don't be a fucking cool girl.
Yeah.
Being a cool girl to me is like the most disconnected you can be from yourself.
Right.
That's all about trying to make other people happy, trying to like not be too much, like don't take up too much space, don't have needs.
Right. Taking crumbs of affection and attention.
Oh my God. Don't be a cool girl. Don't be a cool girl. I'm telling you. Wasted so much time in my life being a cool girl. Don't do that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if your situationship is, you're loving it, like I said, a lot of mine were fucking fantastic, would not do anything differently, and neither would they. And it was so fun. And I am friends with, you know, like if I saw them, I'd be friends. Like we're still buddies, whatever. It's no big deal. But like, yeah, if you are in deep and you are potentially harming yourself, I think it's really time to take even just a tiny baby step.
Yeah. It will only get harder. If you're in a place where you're like unsure, the more the time goes on, it will only get harder. So if you're on the fence, just,
ooh. Oh my gosh, I did this with Cam. I think this is interesting too, where I, in the beginning of our relationship, once we were like, you know, officially together and all that stuff, I gave him like 4 years to figure out if he wanted to get married and if he wanted to get married to me. Like I kind of was like, no, it wasn't like day one. Okay. I want to marry you. Once I realized like, I do want marriage in my life, whether that is with him or somebody else, like I really need that commitment for myself and I want that commitment for myself. And once we had been dating, I don't know, a year and a half or so, I can't remember, but we'd started talking about that stuff. And I'm like, you know, by the 4 year mark of us being in a committed relationship, I feel like if you're not really sure at that point, I don't know if I'm going to be okay with that. Like, I think that's a very generous amount of time to figure out how you feel about marriage in general, but also marriage to like me or whatever. And I'm sure that 4 year mark was subconsciously about my prior relationship of being with somebody like 4.5 years, a little off and on, whatever. But you know, after 4.5 years or so, it ended. And so I'm sure that marker for me was, and I wasn't even conscious of it at that time. Yeah. But I think that was like, all right, well, I've been with somebody for 4+ years and it ended. So I want this to feel different. If this doesn't feel different, I might just peace out. You might just peace out. We both peace out. Like I just, I want to know where this stands and I want it to feel different than that one, because, you know, that's what I needed to feel like secure in something. So I don't know. I feel like that those conversations, they continue even when you are in a committed relationship of, okay, how do we feel about this commitment? Is there one of us that wants a different commitment? Are we both on the same page with that? There's like a new define the relationship after you're in a relationship even.
Yeah. Great point. That's I'm sure so relatable for a lot of people.
So
that's well, our situationships conversation.
Boy. This episode was a situationship. I feel like. Was it a vodcast? Was it a podcast? Was it a diary entry? We don't really know. It was all the things.
It took a lot of turns. I'm glad we did it though. That was fun. Yeah. I wasn't sure how much we would have to say about it. And what a shocker. We talked for super fucking long time about it. Like we always do. Do you have a segment today though? I have a good shit.
Yeah. I think my good shit was my cousin got married this past weekend. It was a wonderful wedding. And it was the fifth or sixth wedding that I officiated, and it was really fun. And enjoyed it. And, you know, every time I do it, there's feedback of maybe people asking if I would, you know, do it for, you know, their wedding or their friend's wedding or something like that. And I think maybe this is the first time that I'm maybe considering doing this in some facet for people that I don't know. Cause I've really limited it to like close friends and family only for a long time. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it sparked something where I might try it out in a different way. But yeah, that was really nice. And I'm very, very happy for him and excited for him. And it was just a lovely time with family and new friends and beautiful setting, like outdoor kind of farm setting, which is just always so beautiful with like the little twinkle lights outside, and like it was such nice weather. And it was really nice. What about
you,
Kels?
So cool. Yeah. I have a good shit. So I had posted a video online joking about that my dad used to do professional yo-yo demonstrations at my high school.
Oh, and what an incredible sentence.
Yes. And then I got a bunch of comments of people being like, oh my God, we have to see these yo-yo tricks. And so I was in Spokane over the weekend, and my dad absolutely jumped at the opportunity because he has loved doing the Trumpet Tuesday videos in the past, and we haven't done one for a very long time. And so my dad busted out his yo-yos, and I recorded him doing some of his favorite tricks. And this video has been going so viral online the past few days. It's like been reposted by all these like massive accounts. It's it collectively between like my accounts and then like other people's accounts has like almost 2 million views. Like it went fucking crazy. And the comment section is one of the most positive comment sections I think I've ever seen on the internet, because like my dad just has like such a big smile on his face doing these yo-yo tricks. It's like so cool the things he's able to do, and it was just, it's like a really fun, wholesome thing. So anyway, follow me on any social media. It's at Kelsey Cook Comedy, and check it out, because
That's so cool.
You can't watch it and not have a smile on your face by the end. Yeah. I promise you. Like it's such a feel-good video. So that was fun.
Oh my gosh. That's the most precious thing I've ever heard. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. That's
all right. Awesome. Well, I will see you helpsters in DC this weekend at the DC Comedy Loft. You can get tickets at kelseycook.com. And all my other tour dates are on there. And go check out Delaney's amazing podcast outside of this one called Career Crush.
Yeah. DelaneyFisher.com. You can sign up, get it for free. There it is.
Yay. There it is.
Whoop. There it is. All right.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Also, we want to give a big shout out to Tajani Inouye for creating our newest fabulous self-helpless podcast theme song. Oh, you may have noticed. We've changed it up.
Yes. Yeah. The podcast got a makeover, and oh my God, I love the song so much. What a beautiful voice of an angel. Yes. And thank you so much. We love it.
Oh my God, it's been so nice. Like, yeah, every couple seasons of the show, we have a new artist create a custom song for us. And that's just always such a fun process. So thanks again to Johnny. We really appreciate it. Maybe thank you for tuning in to the Self-Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com.
We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, left an iTunes review, or feel free to post it on your Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast. Thanks, guys. Helpless.